This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
I'm driving, and of course, as we all do, we consume the K-Show. Don's doing his list. I'm all excited. He revisited the best performances in New York sports, and which one are you taking off? You taking off Clyde? You taking off Phil Sims? And Peter, matter-of-factly, well, you take Phil Sims off. And then he goes as far as saying, Phil Sims was just Trent Dilfer. I was seething.
You know that drop where Don says, I'd smack your face dead?
I'd smack your face dead.
I would punch you right in the nose. If I were you, I would just back up and go home. You shouldn't continue to do the show. It's a terrible take, Peter. It's a horrendous
day. This is DCR.
The dogs are really the cause of all of this.
But I can't fight them.
I can't fight
them. On 98.7 ESPN.
What you know about rolling down in the deep when your brain goes numb?
You know, I stand by what I said and did to Rosenberg. The more I think about that take, it's such a terrible take. That Phil Sims was a game manager in Trent Dilfer. It was such a repulsive take by him, who grew up as a Washington football fan, by the way.
Yeah, it's not his finest moment, Dave. I mean, let's face it. You're talking about the mid-80s when Phil Sims had that performance, and, you know, Rosenberg probably wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to football back then. Just saying. I mean, I was 4 years old when that happened. So I can understand how that performance wouldn't be etched in his mind the way it is in yours. But everybody remembers what Eli Manning did in those two Super Bowls that happened in the 2000s. Everybody remembers the throw to David Tyree. Everybody remembers the throw to Mario Manningham. So, not trying to defend Peter because it's a ridiculous take, but I think that's where he was probably coming from.
Dave, quickly.
Yeah.
Phil Sims, Super Bowl. Give me his numbers.
22.
It was 22 of 25, 268, and 3 touchdowns?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
88% completion percentage.
That's not bad. Biggest game, biggest moment. That's not bad.
Yeah, not too bad. Oh, ridiculous. Time. I'm so angry about that. I can't get over that. Time now for
Punch
Straight Talk.
Punch you right in your nose.
By Straight Talk Wireless. Well, such a horrendous take.
I would punch you right in the nose.
You should quit the show.
He should have. He should have. You know what? He should have said, listen, my dog's not feeling well. I'm going to be done. The take is so bad. Let me just have the rest of the day off. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Spicy. Wow. You are spicy, man. This is different.
Yeah,
I kind of like it. I'm actually falling in love with this, Dave.
Really?
Yeah. Like you're not a wallflower. Like, this is, you're steadily standing up for yourself.
Wait, you looked at me as a wallflower?
No, I don't know what, but you're just like, you're not a big confrontation guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure in the past, I've known you where I don't think you would, like, insult someone the way you just insulted Peter. Like, you'd come on and be like, no, that's a bad take.
You know what it's like? Like, I don't think it would be much different if he was on the K-Show saying, you know what? You know who's a repulsive-looking child? Ben Rothenberg. Like, that's, like, when I heard that, I had the same visceral reaction. Like, I can't, how dare you make a statement like that? And I went like a mama bear, I went on the attack.
So you felt like by him saying what he said about Phil Sims, comparing him to Trent Dilfer, was like him attacking a family member?
Yes.
That's what it felt like?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
At that moment, that's how angry I was.
You never know how
I can tell based on the reaction.
Although his bar mitzvah gift would kind of lean towards he doesn't have much respect for them.
Mm.
Well, I think that's obvious. You didn't even go to the bar mitzvah and gave considerably more than Peter.
I gave a nice gift, didn't I?
It was a lovely gift. A lovely gift.
I was trying to get him a baseball glove.
And then what
made
makes
too.
Matters worse is he was so proud about it and started discussing it live on the radio. Like, if you under gift, I wouldn't think that would be something you would bring attention to.
But especially if you've had one. Like, Peter's had a bar mitzvah. Like, dude, like, don't you know, or like at least to ask? Like, I didn't know, so I asked. Like, I don't know. Usually, I've just come out of. I came out of the floor, and I don't remember what I gave for a gift. So I just asked, like, what should I do? I was even trying to get him a baseball glove made.
Oh, that would be unbelievable.
It wouldn't have been done in time. So I was like, I'm not gonna. I didn't realize it would take as long as it was going to take to get it made. That's why I asked. Remember when I asked you what colors his team was?
Yep.
I was trying to get him a custom glove made.
See, that's a lot of thought that goes into something like that.
I know he loves baseball, and you saw him every all the time we talk. He's always practicing. He's down in the basement practicing. So I was like, "Oh, this is."
I didn't tell you what happened. I tried to shield you guys from this the other day. I told RJ, but I didn't tell you. But I guess I probably should, right? Now that I brought it up on air,
I think you have to.
So he's at you would have felt terrible. He's at a baseball tournament, and sixth inning, two outs, we're down a run. He plays shortstop, line drive, but it skips right in front of him
and
towards the side. And he dives for it, and it was not on a good field. Must have hit something bad. Hop.
Face,
nose.
Oh, bloody!
He's lifeless on the field. And I'm like, oh god. And there's those. I don't know if you've even had them yet because your kids are so young. But this was really the first one. I was like, oh god, do I go out? I was like, nope. You can't get up. You can't go out. Finally, teammates go check on him. They kind of shake him, move him. Gets up, dripping blood from the nose. Dripping blood, and I'm like, oh god. So he comes in, the ice, you know, tissues, all of it. And my favorite thing about this, and I'll remember it forever, he sits on the bench, they get him iced, the head's back, people are tending to him. He goes, I bat third next inning, can I still bat? and the coach says, yeah, if your nose is not bleeding, if we've subsided the bleeding by that point, you can still go up and bat. But I was so proud of him at that moment.
Look at him channeling his inner Kevin Pillar. How about that?
Yeah, his Kobe moment. I'll go shoot the free throws.
Yeah. Ugh. Now, he did go to strike out in that at-bat. But still, he took the at-bat. I was impressed.
Probably good. I mean, he could probably barely see straight after getting...
Yeah, he was like shaking his head and his eyes were
face
watery.
With a ball.
Oh, I felt so bad for him.
How about, Dave, VR stealing second base and just taking the throw right directly
right
in the ear hole?
Oh, right off the ear? That might be worse than getting hit in the nose. Like, right off the ear.
Straight in the ear.
You ever like get punched in the ear or like take a shot in the ear? It hurts so much.
Yeah, well, the temple. I mean, the temple's nice too. We've seen how that turned out for me. Night night.
Yeah, that's not great. But oh god, yeah, these athletes are incredible.
But tell me you don't get nervous. Like even the field that we practice on, like when we're doing infield practice with the kids, the fields are like you take for granted how beautiful these major league fields are.
The major league fields are, yeah.
Like how true the ground balls are. Like, all it takes is one little, like, you know, one rock, ball hits that, and go, boom, before you know it, right in your face. You did the right thing, though, sitting there. Just be patient.
But I was nervous.
Him. Of course you were nervous. He took took a ball off the face.
But I didn't want to be that parent that, like, because I always laugh at that parent that goes running on the field, like, oh, is it, you okay? Are you okay?
Dave, we had a parent in soccer that would go out whenever, and the kid would do this, like, at least four or five times a game, would like, lay on the field and have like a breakdown, and the mother would come out with fruit snacks
onto the field. Is your ankle hurt? No, Mom, I'm okay. Would you like apple slices? Oh, okay.
No, it was fruit snacks. Every time it was fruit snacks, like get him back involved.
It was like he needed the fruit snacks.
Yeah, it's like, here you go, have a couple fruit snacks. Get back in there. He's like, okay, thanks, Mom.
I've seen parents carry kids off the field, like a dad run onto the field, scoop their child up, and run off with them in their arms.
I've seen that. That happened to my cousin. His dad came, picked him up. Sooch had a moment where he was this was like a lazy fly ball to center field. I don't know if he caught the sun or whatever it caught. Didn't even touch his glove, hit him square in the face, right in the nose. It's bleeding. And rather than go down in typical Sooch fashion, he starts running around the outfield screaming, don't take me to Winthrop Hospital! Don't take me to
Winthrop! Oh, man.
Now, did he just not want to go to the hospital, or is there something about Winthrop that the doctors have known that they're bad over there?
It's not a great, I don't think Winthrop Hospital is a great hospital, but that was like the first thing that came to his mind is don't take me to Winthrop Hospital.
Don't take me there. Let's go to Devin and Shrub Oak. Good morning, Devin. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Glad you're doing well. Chris, thanks for the ring. A couple of things, if I may. One, I agree with you, Dave, that the Phil Sims thing in the Super Bowl is one of the biggest playoff performances ever. I think our friend Mr. Rosenberg is just a little salty that the Washington football team doesn't have as many championships or isn't as good as us. A lot of people know how big that stage is and how important that 22 of 25 is. And then for him to bring up the length of the passes, I think was a little asinine. Second thing, if I may, I saw yesterday and there's a lot of trades about Damian Lillard and Luka Doncic, and I'm wondering what you boys would give up to go get either one of them and who you would keep and things like that.
For a kidney? I mean, what are you looking for? Especially for Doncic. Like, could you imagine?
I mean, either one of those guys, you're talking about the Knicks being in contention for the Eastern Conference Finals next year. Either one of those, depending on
what you have to give up, though. Doncic, you'd have to give up. I can't imagine. I mean, that would cost you whatever they want, really.
Yeah, but how great would it be, though, Rico, to end up getting Luka Doncic after the Dallas Mavericks traded for KP in order for him to be Doncic's running mate down there in Dallas? How great would that be as
Luka
a Knicks
Doncic
fan?
Is 22 years old, man.
Yeah, he's awesome. 22. He's unbelievable, man. He's unbelievable.
And he's mad now, too. You see that? They fired Donnie Nelson. He's all pissed off.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Could you imagine if they moved on from Doncic and traded him? Not that they will. And Porzingis was left holding the bag there in Dallas. What a treat that would be.
That's what I'm saying, though, Dave. That's what I'm saying. And it doesn't seem like it's that far-fetched because we know with NBA stars, if those guys come out and say they don't want to be there, then they're going to be able to move on. They write their own ticket in that league. It's a players' league. And with that article that came out last week in The Athletic, like things are not all rosy down there in Dallas. They're not.
No, I could see him signing that. See, what I would do, and it would be, I mean, it's not the right thing to do, but as you sign the...
No, it's the right thing to do. Go ahead and say it. It's the right thing to do.
You sign that Supermax, and then you get yourself out.
Yes, sir.
How about this, too? Could you imagine how pissed off you would be right now if you were Donovan Mitchell or Jason Tatum? Not being on one of those all-NBA teams, you lost $33 million.
That's a problem.
They should eliminate that, by the way.
They have to. How they agreed to that in the first place is ridiculous to me.
Well, you agree to it when you see these salaries for these supermaxes, though, Rico.
No, I know, but could you imagine, like, the people, like, it would be like, I would have to see every single person that voted on these all-NBA teams.
Oh, you want more accountability?
Yeah, like, I need to know, like, you cost me money now.
Yeah.
But it's not even like you got like $100,000. You're like, all right, listen, for these guys, $100,000. But $33 million?
Yeah, you're going out your way to be nice to all the media members if you're those guys.
Whatever, Rolexes, whatever you need.
Fruit snacks for everybody.
Yeah, let's get a coffee, sit down, and have a conversation, whatever you need.
The blue in that shirt really brings out your eyes, dude. That is it's a phenomenal look. Can I buy you some extra shirts just in case? Let's go to Tommy in the car. Good morning, Tommy. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Kenty, my brother. Thank you so much.
My man.
Dave, don't downplay the dads that run out into the field. I did it. My son
was
playing football in the scrum. He's crying. My arm. I'm afraid. Kids are savages. I'm going to let you know that right now. Little kids that play football, they play it wrong. They're little savages. But to the point, certain things I don't know, what I like to ask you the questions is, as far as I'm a Yankees fan, I do follow the Mets sometimes. Question number one is, does the medical staff ever change during, let's say, coaching changes, managerial changes, staff changes?
It can.
And second part is, do we blame the medical staff? Because it seems like a trend for the Mets. Johan Santana, medical issue, can't play for the rest of his life. Matt Harvey, medical issue. Now Jacob DeGrom. So do we blame them at all? Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
I don't think you only blame the medical staff. I think it's a combination of both. I blame the Mets for putting him in the spot where...
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, like they pretended like there was no such thing as an innings limit with a guy coming off Tommy John in that kind of season where they had, I mean, do you remember that run?
It's
a special
run.
Season.
And then they
want
to play dumb as to why he can't get back right.
Exactly right. I don't know why. I don't know why he needs thoracic outlet syndrome surgery now. I can't imagine why.
Yeah, it felt like they kind of set him up for failure there, didn't it?
Yeah, because they knew they weren't going to bring him back. He wasn't in their future plans. So we'll use him up, and then when we don't need him anymore, we'll just get rid of him. And now he's never been the same, and his career's been ruined.
Ruined. Absolutely ruined. It is a shell. I mean, it's almost sad to watch him pitch now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So Yankees with another victory. Chapman gets himself into a little bit of trouble and then gets himself out of trouble. Just a mind-boggling.
A little bit of trouble.
He had runners at second and third, no outs.
A little bit of trouble.
Thank God. Listen, baseball too. It's almost like I don't want Milo to watch baseball because it's just so poorly played. Like I'm trying to teach them like the fundamentals of baseball. Like how to run the bases. You watch a Yankees game between the Yankees and then what Vlad Guerrero Jr. did yesterday.
How about
and
that throw
Chapman,
home?
What the hell is Chapman doing?
Chapman? The guy throws 102 miles an hour, and when there's a ball hit back to him, he throws like a lollipop back to the catcher.
He skipped it to Sanchez way too early, too.
I know, way too early.
You're supposed to run directly at the runner, and he didn't even look at the runner. He just picked it up and threw it to him.
How in the world did they call that a foul ball, by the way?
On Gurriel?
Yes.
Sanchez won that game for you yesterday. I mean, Gerrit Cole was awesome. But, I mean, Sanchez, you know, pinch hit two-run home run. And then defensively, I mean, stops a ball in the dirt that was a great play. Scoops that Chapman. For him to scoop that throw and then make that throw to third to get Guerrero.
Which was a close play.
Was a really close play. I mean, he Gary Sanchez is like, if you were to define players that are good enough to get you fired.
That's him.
That's him.
Yeah.
Because when he's right,
face,
I mean,
right in the dictionary.
Because Chris, when he's right, I mean, I can understand it. Like you see, like when he's going well, like I can, like his ceiling is crazy.
Yeah, especially when you talk about the Yankees, a team that values the analytics and exit velo. I mean, Gary Sanchez smoked that ball to the exact same place he hit one the night before. I mean, just the power that he has in his bat. I mean, the guy is an extra base hit waiting to happen when he's locked in. And right now he's locked in. Four home runs the last six games. Like, you are seeing the best of what Gary Sanchez has to offer offensively, which is why Brian Cashman gave him so much leash in the first place.
Yep. You see, this is the exact reason why they won't give up on this guy, what he's done over the last couple of games, what he did last night. This is why they're so nervous to say, you know what, let's move on and move in a different direction with our catcher. This exact reason.
Yeah, because, I mean, what you want in the sport, I mean, what this Yankees team is looking for is the ability to hit for power, right, to hit home runs. And there's... Mm-hmm. And there's no one better at that position than Gary Sanchez is. Like, that's a distinct advantage. Like, when Gary Sanchez is playing at the level he's playing right now, there is not a catcher in Major League Baseball that can do what he does.
Right. And you, but the problem is, how often do you see that?
That's the thing, though. That's why he's good enough to get you fired, because you don't see it consistently enough. Like, his ceiling is crazy. Like, his ceiling is all-star, best offensive catcher in baseball, and his floor is, it's just, that's...
awful.
I mean, it's just, yeah, it's basement. Like, it's just, it's bad. It's like, it becomes unplayable. Right? Like, he was there last season, right? Most important games, we can't play you.
Right. Right. I mean, biggest games of the season, and we'll go with Higashioka over you. And now this year, you've seen moments where you see why. There's this just, you know, just adoration for this guy. Here's Aaron Boone on Gary Sanchez's improved play of late.
Just happy for him because he's worked so hard. He's just kept his nose down. Obviously, he lost some playing time, you know, about a month ago, and just has kept working. He's been a great teammate. You know, he's worked really hard on both sides of the ball. I thought he did a great job coming in and catching. Had some really good blocks there in that ninth inning, and obviously a good throw to get the out at third base, and obviously a huge swing. So his work, he's just worked. And he's had the courage to make adjustments, and you know, he's getting some of the rewards now.
Very excited locker room there for the Yankees.
It's a big win, man. This was a big series. We talked about it going into it, how
huge
big a series this was.
Huge series. And they could have lost both games, and you know what? To their credit, they've won both of these games.
Yeah, but at some point, I mean, they had to, though. I mean, you got between Boone and then your GM talking about, you know, we'll see what this team is made of, and then... you know, talking out of both sides of their mouth. Like, we got enough in this room, but I'm not afraid to make additions when I have to make additions. Like, sorry, someone had to send a message to this team. Like, this needs to change now, or we're going to have to do something about it. Because, I mean, this is not... And it was funny. I heard Buck Showalter the other day, and he made a great point. You know, baseball lends itself because it's so many games. It's like, don't worry, we'll get him tomorrow. Don't worry, we'll get him tomorrow. Like, there's no, like, there isn't that real sense of urgency in baseball. Like, no. There isn't in football.
It's hard to have that when you're playing 160 games, isn't it? I mean, that's hard.
I mean, that's every day. I mean, every single day. And it's like, okay, you know, I had a bad night. I'll get him tomorrow. And then all of a sudden it's, I had another bad night. I'll get him tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know, when you're in mid-June and that's your mantra still, it gets late.
Yeah, but for the Yankees, it was starting to get, I mean, with where they're at in the division, it was like, okay, this has to stop now.
Yeah. At some point, you had to be able to make up some ground on Boston and on Tampa, and I just felt like this series against the Blue Jays, because before the series started, you were looking up at them in the division standings. It was an important series because you can put them in your rearview mirror, and then you can be able to close the gap, not only on the teams at the top of the AL East, but also on the teams that are in the hunt for that wild card, teams like Cleveland, teams like Houston. So to me, it made a whole if it was going to happen in terms of the Yankees being able to get this thing turned around, this was a good spot for it to happen. This was a good series to be able to say that you guys came out on the winning side of it.
You don't have to jump. Like, I mean, I get it. You're looking up at the Rays, and that feels like at the moment it's like, I mean, how are we going to catch this Rays team?
Yeah.
But you don't want to have to climb over too many teams. You know what I mean? Like, that starts to become a problem, too, is how many teams. Now you got to worry about all these teams as opposed to, okay, let's take care of our business now and, you know, send the message to Toronto that we're still the Yankees, and let's try to pick up some sort of momentum here moving forward.
No, you got yourself in trouble. I mean, you really did. Nine was the number 2 days ago. That's a daunting number. Now, you know, Tampa's lost two in a row. You've won two in a row. Now the number's seven. But you painted yourself into the corner, and it was so much of, well, they'll be fine. They'll figure it out. Again, at what point does it become too late? And Tampa's so good, too.
There's still a lot of season left, Dave. So I think that's what Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman were preaching, you know, internally and externally. But we realize how this team is built. We got enough of a sample size to understand that there are some flaws. And if the Yankees don't hit home runs, if they don't get extra base hits, it's going to be hard to overcome the deficiencies on this roster. Like, that's the reality of where we're at. So, I mean, I like the fact that we won the last couple of games and that we won this series. But the biggest question is, how sustainable is it? Like, can they build on these performances? Can they continue to, you know, have that upward trajectory? I'm not ready to say that I trust the Yankees are going to be able to do that.
No, I agree with you. And listen, I didn't think they played all that well last night. I think what's happening now is Toronto's bullpen is just, it's horrendous. And every time they throw someone out there, he gets helped off by the trainer. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. But right, how many times have a guy's walked off with the trainer over the last couple of days? But, you know, last night, they win. Sanchez with the home run. Chapman does his best work in the ninth inning with two guys on, and they get out of there. But it just, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys disagree. It doesn't feel right. They've won two games, but it doesn't feel like they're playing very good baseball as of yet.
Well, it still feels like they're missing opportunities, right? Like, you're still looking by. I mean, the Yankees, you know, what we've seen from this Yankees team is you got a lot of crooked innings, right? Like, they take advantage of those opportunities. They can go back to the first inning. You got the bases loaded, and you get one run. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you get the bases loaded with those kind of opportunities. You got to take advantage. Like, someone needs to come through with a big hit. And that hasn't been the case this season for them. Offensively, they've struggled, to say the very least. I'll tell you another thing that, I mean, pay attention to, is as good as Gerrit Cole was last night, and he was great. I mean, his changeup was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Velocity was still there, but, I mean, he's RPMs. Another guy that was, again,
way down.
Down 200.
Way, way down. Here he is, actually.
Stop him from talking, please. Please stop him from talking,
Dave. Yes, but it is good for us. Here is Gerrit Cole on his spin rate being down.
Look, we're all just trying to play by the rules. Play by what the commissioners handed out going forward. And so spin rate's not everything. You can still pitch well if you don't have a high spin rate.
He's right. Listen, he's right. But the issue becomes.
Right.
But the issue becomes now. All of a sudden, your margin for error is completely different than when it was.
Yeah.
Because with that spin rate, you can throw a ball, but because it has so much late life, it could be a mistake and still impossible to hit.
But you see already. I mean, batting averages are up considerably over the last week in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but you know what? The other thing, too, is the reason why I think guys like Josh Donaldson were getting so frustrated was because the pitchers kept telling them it's about grip and I got to be able to control the baseball. And then you look at, you know, guys being hit, that's up. Walks, those are up. And they're like, no, this doesn't make any sense. If you can control it, then why are we getting hit with it? It's because you want to spin the hell out of it and make it impossible to hit.
That's right, which they've done a pretty good job of.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I'm wild and crazy. At any moment, $250 cash. You want to do it right now, Rick, or you want to save it for a few minutes?
No. Let the suspense build, Dave. Let it build. I like it.
At any
I
moment.
Like you like this. I like when you're unpredictable. I like it.
I could be set off. I mean, I could do it at 6:57. I could do it at 6:44. You don't know.
And that's why you got to listen, Dave. You have to be locked in. You got to listen.
You know, there's a phrase that I created in my younger days in radio. I call it trust the speakers. Okay?
Trust the speakers!
Just the letter TTS. And if you trust the speakers, good things, in fact, will happen. And good things will come out of your speakers in the next few minutes. A chance to win $250 cash. TTS, baby. TTS. Trust the speakers!
The Utah Jazz disgust me.
Sorry. They got run out of the building in the third quarter last night, huh?
That's amazing. Amazing to me.
I know why they disgust you, Rico, but you understand what's going on with them, though, man. Donovan Mitchell ain't right. And if he's not right, that team's not going to win.
Yeah, but the other team doesn't have their best player.
I understand that, but the other team does have a superstar in Paul George that went off for 37-16.
That's playoff P, baby. That's not pandemic P. That's playoff
P. No, and he's been playoff P the last three games. He's been over 30 points.
And not having Mike Conley really hurts them as well.
Yes. So,
but like, nothing in the stratosphere of what the Philadelphia 76ers gave you last night. Could you imagine if that was the Knicks? You blow a 26-point lead at home and almost literally gag down the stretch in that game against Atlanta with the Hawks scoring like the last, 15 points until you hit a meaningless shot with less than a second to go. What a horrendous performance from Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was awful, Dave. I mean, just when you thought the Bucks had the worst choke job in the postseason, the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis wearing black Air Force Ones, the Philadelphia Sixers say the next day, hold my beer. Like, that was that type of performance. Like, I can't understand how it's even possible that you only have two guys make field goals in the second half of that game. Like, outside of Seth Curry and Joel Embiid, nobody from the Sixers got a bucket. Nobody?
Have we ever seen anything like that before?
I've never heard of anything like that, Dave. Like, no, Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, nobody can get a bucket other than Seth Curry and Joel Embiid in the second half. It was absolutely ridiculous what they did. I mean, Philly will never live this. They won't live this down, Dave, if they don't find a way to be able to get out of this series against Atlanta. They won't.
It actually makes me feel better about what happened with the Knicks. A little bit. Just a little bit.
I would agree with that.
I don't feel as bad. Listen, I wasn't going to feel bad anyway. But the fact that Atlanta is proving to people that they're a good team. Like, they're up 3-2 in the series, and I know they gagged it away.
Trae Young is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Superstar status.
This is what happens, though. This is when guys, right? Like, this is when guys start to create their legacies right now. It's like, what do you do in these kind of moments? And we saw it at Madison Square Garden, and we're seeing it now. Like, this, there's a reason why they call him Ice Trae. Like, it doesn't seem like these moments affect him.
No, not at all.
You feel like he's on the verge of becoming one of the faces of the NBA, right?
Ooh, God forbid.
Like, with this postseason performance, like, it feels like he's getting to that point.
You sure you want to be a face of the NBA, or like...
I think the hairstyle is.
I'm not going to take it there. I hear where you're coming from, but I'm not going to take it there.
Let's go to Daryl in the car. Good morning, Daryl. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, y'all, man. Thanks for taking my call. Man, you guys kind of touched on it right away, Rick, Dave, man. Watching Atlanta kind of makes me feel real good as a Knicks fan. Atlanta's a real good team. Trae Young. You took the words out of my mouth. Like, I picked up the phone immediately when you started talking NBA. This guy's amazing. This guy's amazing. We had no shot at beating these guys. No shot whatsoever. I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, you know, I'm a fan, so I was wishful thinking. That's what it was. But these guys are good, man, and they look like they might take down Philly. So I feel good as a Knicks fan, man, and thanks for taking my call. Love you guys in the morning, man.
Appreciate it, Daryl. If I was Andrew Gundling this morning, I'm not going to work today.
Sheer panic?
It would be more disgust and anger. Like, you blew a 26-point lead, Chris, at home.
I don't know how that happens, Dave. I don't know how that happens, and more importantly, I don't know how they get off the mat after that kind of performance.
No, because I've had it.
How can you trust yourself if you had a 26-point lead at home and you end up blowing that? How can you trust yourself? Like going on the road in Atlanta game six? Good luck with that.
No. They're frauds. I told
you. But here, let me ask you a question, right? Because I think Doc Rivers has done a good job with this team.
Yeah, and I would agree with that.
Yeah, my 26-point lead. I get it. You're too comfortable. But, I mean, it's – Seth Curry is not one of the superstars on your team.
No. Right?
I mean, he had a great night.
Not a superstar at all, no.
No, by any means. Well, how has Ben Simmons taken one shot in the second half?
Well, he can't shoot.
But he took not one attempt?
He can't shoot. And beyond that, I think he's resigned himself to the role of just kind of being a facilitator and just letting Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and Seth Curry be the guys that get buckets. Like, that's kind of how they've evolved as a team this season. My biggest question is whether or not Ben Simmons is going to be a fit for this team long term, if you're talking about the primary ball handler for your squad not being able to shoot the basketball.
It's an embarrassment, honestly, and I mean this sincerely, because the guy was a great player at LSU.
Yeah.
And he could post you up, great around the basket, make the—
There was no question that he should have been the number one pick when he came out, Dave. No question.
Yeah. But here's my question for you guys. Is he any better of a shooter now?
No.
Years into his NBA career than the day he stepped foot on the court in this league.
It's not even that he's not a better shooter. It's his unwillingness to actually try to shoot.
I mean, it would drive me crazy. He won't shoot. He can't shoot. He can't make free throws. It's a disaster there.
That would be a team, right? Like, if somehow Philly could find a way, I don't think Philly's going to win a championship with
no. No.
If you could find a way to... Like, if the Sixers could get Dame, if you put Dame Lillard with Joel Embiid, that would be a scary combination.
Think about what that Eastern Conference Finals would be with the Sixers with Dame going up against the Brooklyn Nets with the big three.
Listen, I think you could package Simmons and Moore to get Lillard. I don't think that's that's not a wild idea.
I'm not saying it's a wild idea. I'm just saying what kind of team that would be.
No, I don't think you guys are saying that at all. I'm just saying, like I think that you could package something with Ben Simmons to be able to pull the trigger on a deal for Lillard. I don't think that's crazy.
Like, that would be a good spot. Like, if Dame was worried about, like, trying to, finally get over the hump and be a team that could win a championship,
mm-hmm.
that would be, I mean, that situation. Because Embiid is – the only thing you worry about with Embiid is his health.
And how long do you think Philadelphia is going to be nice and kind to Simmons? At some point, they're gonna turn on him in a huge way.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason it hadn't happened yet is because the team is kind of taking that step this year under Doc Rivers. But if they collapse and they lose to the Hawks, the volume on that conversation this offseason is going to get a lot louder.
And it should. Guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. All right, Rick, I'm going to give you the option. I know you have Nobservations and DHIF. Do you want us to give the money away now, right now, during where you could do it, or after? You tell me. Where do you want to go with this?
How do we want to give the money away? Here's the question. How would you like to give the money away today? Just be a caller?
Well, that's what we're doing. Yeah, it's put here as just a caller.
What if we take the first caller, and then if they answer the "did it happen in Florida" correctly, they win?
I'd have to turn to RJ and see if that's something he's comfortable with. So let me do that. RJ, is that... Is that something? I guess he was being literal. RJ, is that something you'd be comfortable with? Is involving the
I would be comfortable with it, but for technical reasons, which I'm not going to bore you with, it may not be possible because the phone lines are different.
Oh, see, interesting point. All right, so let's just do it. Whenever you want to do it. How about you decide at any point during...
So at any point, I could just jump in and say, here we go. It's time.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll be ready for it.
It is not time yet for the cash. It will be soon. It is time for Nobservations.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his Nobservations.
Could have called it Rick's Observations, but it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then Nob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, here we go, fellas. This is a big Nobservations today. Get away some money.
I could do it right now.
Doing some knobs, some DHIF. All right, let's start with this one. You guys remember when back a couple days ago, our very own Stephen A., and we love Stephen A., said that Donovan Mitchell is the best player in the history of the Jazz organization.
Yes, Richard Jefferson. Remember that statement. Yeah,
yeah. Richard Jefferson had a response. He said,
"Ridiculous statement."
Richard Jefferson said, "Stay off the weed." Was Richard Jefferson's response to Stephen A. I mean, that's a little bit. I mean, Donovan Mitchell is great, but I mean, Karl Malone, John Stites.
I mean, these are two of the all-time greats in the history of the NBA. And to say that Donovan Mitchell is better than those guys is just it's a wild statement to make.
Stay off the weed.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a prisoner of the moment. All right, next we're moving along here. Did you guys see the story in the Post the other day about David Wells hating Joe Torre?
No.
I did not.
Crazy story. So he says, I never liked Joe as a manager. He did stuff to me that he shouldn't have done to anybody. But, you know, we all knew he treated certain guys different ways. So here was one of the stories. Remember when he wore the Babe Ruth hat?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, actually, I didn't realize this. Maybe I did. I just forgot it. So, he's wearing that hat in the game against the Cleveland Indians. So, after the first inning, Torre forced him to take it off, saying it didn't comply with the uniform standards. And then following the game, he actually fined him. Fined Wells for wearing the hat.
Really?
$2,500.
Wow. Mm. Like an internal team fine kind of thing.
So he says to him, you're shallow. And the next day he showed up with a bunch of ones, fives, and tens and threw it at Joe Torre at on his desk. The $2,500.
That's so disrespectful.
That is so disrespectful.
And he says to him, go buy some stuff for your car, a-hole.
Wow.
And then he said Torre never talked to him for the rest of the year.
Well, you know what? They did a great job of keeping that under wraps.
Okay, and how about this one? This is even crazier. So apparently he got into it one time. This is David Wells with George Steinbrenner.
Oh, God.
So in one of his starts, Wells surrendered a home run after a fan reached over the wall and, you know, Paul O'Neill wasn't able to make the catch. Mm-hmm. So after the game, you know, Wells went to Steinbrenner, said, you need to raise the height of the fences so this doesn't happen again. So Steinbrenner says to him, you ain't the pitcher I signed.
Cool.
And he says, excuse me? So Steinbrenner says, you ain't the pitcher I signed. And Wells said, well, if you don't like the way I pitch, why don't you trade me? And he goes, I tried. Nobody wants you.
Wow.
Love the boss's response in that one.
Wow.
Who the hell are you?
Well, then he calls him out. Then he tells Steinbrenner that he's going to fight him.
I've heard that story.
Yeah, he says that got him all aggravated. So he got in George's face and he started calling him every name in the book. And then so Steinbrenner's back in his face and he goes, I'm not afraid of you. And then Wells tells him, I'll tell you what, old man. I'm going to go put some ice on. And if I come back and you're still here, I'm going to beat the blank out of you.
Yeah, I've heard
that's how
that
it's going to be.
Could you imagine that if David Wells went after George Steinbrenner?
No, but they finally made up, but that's craziness, man.
Wild stuff. But, you know, if you would have said to me without the name, what player do you think this was?
Oh, David Wells. No question about it, Dave. No question about it.
All right, this is for you, Sandy. You're going to love this.
Should I do money now? No.
No. Resident Cowboys fan. So Kyler Murray, who grew up in Texas, was asked why he wasn't a Cowboys fan growing up. Let's listen to what he said.
You got to be a Cowboys fan.
No? They were always ass. Yeah.
Kyle, what a great man he is. I might buy a Kyler Murray jersey, actually. He gets it.
I felt the way when I heard this comment from Kyler Murray, though, because I'm sure that some of those teams that he was probably referring to, I was on them. Like, I was with the Cowboys 2005
point.
Through 2007. Like,
it's
I
a
just,
fair point.
Like, I feel like that's, you know, a roundabout way of taking a shot at some of my guys. I don't like it.
All right, next one up. Here's another crazy story. So Cristiano Ronaldo was doing a presser at the Euro 2020, right? And there was two Coca-Colas at the desk. He decided, no, I don't drink this kind of stuff. So he pushed them away and asked for water. Because he did that, the stock value, the market value of Coca-Cola dropped $4 billion.
Mm.
$4 million. Yeah, $4 billion. $4 billion.
$4 billion?
$4
billion dollars. Yep.
How is that possible?
Because he pushed away the Coke. And people are like, well, if Cristiano Ronaldo didn't drink Coke, I mean,
but $4 billion because one guy didn't want Coke?
Well, yeah, the share price dropped by 1.6%. like right soon after he did it. So the market value went from $242 billion to $238
billion. Wow. Well, Coca-Cola has a chance to win $250 in the next couple of minutes. So they should certainly pay very close attention to that.
That could make up for their, that could make up for their losses.
Really save the company.
All right, here's one of the most asinine things I've ever heard in my life. I get it. Like, you're trying to speak to the fan base and how much you love being on a team. But this is what Derek Carr had to say about potentially ever leaving the Raiders.
I've said it over and over again. I probably quit football if I had to play for somebody else. You know, I am a Raider for my entire life. I'm going to root for one team for the rest of my life, and it's the Raiders. I think we can all agree that if we were able to pull it off and win a championship here, that would feel much better than just piling a whole bunch of great players together and figuring, joining up and doing it that way. I'd rather go down with the ship, you know what I'm saying, if I have to. When I sign a contract, I completely, in my mind, have to fulfill that.
The
only problem is he ain't the captain of the ship. It's John Gruden. And he's got eyes for other quarterbacks. I'm just saying.
Stop it. But come on, stop it. Saying when I sign a contract, I expect to be there is one thing. To say if I had to play elsewhere, I would retire. Stop, please. No one believes that.
They try to trade him every offseason. I don't understand. Right. Like, if all of a sudden, listen, here's the thing. Like, if Green Bay decides, you know what, maybe we'll trade Aaron Rodgers. You don't think that Vegas is going to pick up the phone and ask if
everyone
they can be in on that?
Everyone will pick up the phone and make a call.
And then you just retire? Oh, you traded
me? And then how old is he? Come on. Then all of a sudden he's going to retire? And he played well last year. He shouldn't retire. Silly.
No, he's a good quarterback.
Silly, silly.
All right, so I'm telling you what, like the whole Aaron Rodgers saga, I'm kind of into it, to be honest. The going back and forth.
Okay.
He had the t-shirt on that said, I'm offended.
You see what Jay Glazer said yesterday?
Hey, he still wants out.
Yeah.
Well, how could you not? I mean, Mark Murphy just continues, like, we're going to keep this in the house, and it's like everything he says out of his mouth. He's divided the fan base. He's an interesting fella. I mean, that's a complicated fella.
Complicated fella, yeah.
But this whole Brady, Mickelson, DeChambeau, Aaron Rodgers, we're getting some good sound from this stuff. So this was them going back and forth. This was Brady and Rodgers going back and forth.
I do think you do have a partner that would probably have liked to go for it a little more often than he has in the past. So, Bryce, I'm glad you're encouraging him to kind of go for it when it's on the line. So rather than, you know, just knock into the fairway or something like that and try to play for the next shot.
Yeah, I'll never push anyone to do anything. So he can choose whatever he wants to do.
I usually don't get the option in my...
That's what I mean. You'll finally have the option, Aaron. So
he's funny.
Oh, yeah, well...
I can't imagine if I'm Green Bay, I'm trading him. But I mean, clearly, Aaron Rodgers does not like.
There's some discontent there between these two sides, absolutely.
Which sucks though, because you know, I mean, I think he likes his head coach, and you know, he loves his teammates, and they're good.
They're very good.
Back to back in NFC Championship games,
hosted the last one.
I don't know why you would try to screw up that relationship. I don't get it. Even if he is a complicated fella, like, I mean, he's still one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. All right, Dave, are you ready or you want to wait?
I'm ready. Here we go,
people. Give it away.
Here we go, the big giveaway. 987 ESPN is giving away $1,000 a day over the next week. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to score $250 cash. Again, that's 888-987-3776. Be listening every day through next Wednesday in the 6-7 o'clock hours in the morning, 2 and 5 in the afternoon for more chances to cash in, all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. And that, I imagine, Rick, will lead us right into DHIF.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's make this quick. We don't have much time. Did this happen in Florida? Mm-hmm. A town's error resulted in one man temporarily receiving a free gift with his purchase. What was that gift? How about the town's water tower?
What do you mean he got a water tower?
No, not just the water tower. It was the town's water tower. The city council made the mistake when they sold the businessman this piece of property, this parcel of land. For his small business, they didn't realize
that the water tower was on the property.
Exactly right.
Oh my God!
So he now owned the water tower. He gave it. I mean, he gives it back.
I would sell it back.
No, here's the best part about this, though, is that what makes it even worse is all of a sudden now the city council members start throwing everyone under the bus. He goes, the one city council member goes, I don't know where the blame falls. We're council members and we rely on the city manager. We assume that he's done his due diligence. So they just the city manager just gets thrown right under the bus.
It's just terrible. How much did that piece of land go for? Do you have any idea?
I do. It was a $55,000 purchase.
Wow.
So this guy could shut off water to the city if he wanted now.
He owns, yeah. I mean, he owns the water tower now.
Oh my God. Why is water $4.99 a gallon in this city? Did that happen in Florida? Chris, you have any idea?
Dave, I think it's Gulf South, but I don't think it's Florida. If I had to bet, I would say Texas, but I'm going to say not Florida.
I'm going to say Florida. It sounds like it's just stupid enough to have happened in Florida.
Santee, Florida?
Do they even have water towers in Florida?
They do.
I'm going to flip a coin. I'll say Florida.
Oh, and that coin is correct. It was Florida.
Nice.
Congratulations, David and Ray Santiago. Well done.
How about that?
And there you have it. That is a Thursday edition of Knobs and DHIF.
Very, very well done. Much better than the open that you put together last minute this morning.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.